Bible to Jeremiah chapter 31. And in the presence of God, who's giving us, we're reading that which he has commanded Jeremiah to record. And so we're reading it. And we want to have the benefits of reading. And we're in the presence of the one who gave it, who wrote it. So therefore, to make it work, God is able to do so. So whatever we're to understand, and that it is there to understand, God is present to make it work. So in Jeremiah, remember, God has put in writing that which he said, that it is a sure thing. The believing remnant is to understand the sure destruction of Jerusalem, without any question, that to take heed and take heart, without any question. And the realities that Jeremiah and the people were facing were very real. They weren't something they imagined. It has been built up over the sequence of time to be very, very real and unavoidably real. So therefore, let all the nations know, as we shared, chapter 31 in verse 10. Let all the nations know, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Now, God, what does everyone need to know? God, Jerusalem, the Jew, the nation of Israel, is the centerpiece for all understanding of history. So all of history, it isn't the church, it's Israel. Israel is the nation, and all the movement is about that nation. So as the nation goes, so goes history. So, having said that, let all the nations know, and they do. That's why Israel is the smack dab in the center of the globe, if you put a flat map out, and it's the centerpiece. And everything has for history is all about Israel, the Mideast. Mideast. All about that. And so it is actually happening. Anti-Semitism, you can't escape Israel. The Jews are hated. You don't hear Buddha hated in far-off countries. You hear Israel's hated. Jews. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, all nations are to know the reason you're looking at the Jews and you look down on them, the reason all of Israel's history is God. God has moved Israel and used Israel and will use Israel in all of his outworking of the nations. So therefore, nations, take heed. Don't just think Israel's sinking into the quicksand. No, it isn't. Nope, you need to understand, God is the one that scattered them. God is the one that's going to gather them. Now, having said that in mind, and keeping that, if you would, sliding down to verse 12. Remember, God is giving all the benefits, the wonderful benefits of what is going to be in the kingdom, in the future, all of that. They have forfeited all of this, but it's all going to be there. Coming up in the future. And their encouragement, they are the remnant, the believing remnant, who sees nothing but devastation, is to be encouraged about the future. The God of Israel has an awesome future for the people of God, Israel. Now, having said that, so we'll pick up if we can, in verse 12. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, in Jerusalem at its height, in its kingdom time. They're going to come and sing. They're going to sing, the verb is intensive. They're going to sing, they're going to they're going to be very, very excited. It's a wonderful, wonderful time in the kingdom. And the Jews are going to be glad, not sad, in all that. So they're going to busy themselves, as it were, in coming and singing. And shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, for wine, for oil, for the young of the flock and of the herd. And they're going to flow, and that's like a river. Think of a river moving towards you and moving down in your direction. And the river keeps coming. It's flowing. They're all, Israel, are so excited and exercised about being the nation in God's kingdom. They're flowing there. They're glad to be there. They're coming to God. They aren't backing away. They aren't thinking of going somewhere else. They aren't going to try to go to Egypt or anywhere. They're going to God. They're flowing like a river. Where are they flowing? Into the goodness of God. They're flowing into the God who's good. We'll pick that up in a second. And they're flowing there. And they're eager to do so. So now, having said that, as a stream going to the goodness of God, just think of Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. But in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, you know, when God's finished chapter 1, and he says verse 31, and everything, he's looking at it, everything that he did, stars, moon, fish, birds, water, land, everything, humans, it's very good. He saw it and looked at it. There's no sin. Everything is no weeds, no lion legs. Everything is the dinosaur with the rhinoceros, with the tyrannosaurus, with the osoceros. What if there's one of them? All of those wonderful things live together. And nothing. Awesome time. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, it's very good. Now we're looking, what are we looking at? We're looking at the word goodness. We want to say they're all flowing. Israel and the kingdom are all flowing, the people, towards God. Not away from God, towards God. What are they going to God for? Because of his goodness. His goodness, that's where they're going. So everything was made was very good. So we got something. Whatever we're looking at, whatever God has done, it's good. All of the things from sky, sea, ocean, land, it's very good. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus in chapter 33. And you remember Moses looking to exercise his relationship to God, talk to God face to face. He's looking to get, God is such an awesome person, and God has just prayed for them that God would go with them as they proceed in the next year, 38 years down the road. And in the process, he prays that God's presence will go with him, and all of that is true. So all of that he's going to do. God's going to go. In particular, Moses asked an additional request, remember, in chapter 33, in verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, God, glory, and we looked up, been looking at glory, and glory is the grandeur. God is just glorious, and everything he does is for his glory. In other words, there's no way he can do anything that isn't glorious. Everything's glorious that he does. So Moses understands that with all the up and down the mountain and all of that. So therefore he wants to see his glory. Therefore, verse 10, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. So he's going to show, I will make all my goodness. So remember back in the millennium, they're all flowing, headed, moved, motivated to go to God For what? Because he's good. He's glorious. His goodness is there. So they're seeking to benefit, to be blessed by his goodness, the just plain goodness of God. That's what they're. So God says to Moses, I will let my goodness pass before thee. And in the process, and thou canst not see my face, thou shalt not see me and live. And God's going to let the glory pass, verse 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory, remember, he puts Moses in a little cave, as it were. And it shall come to pass that while my good glory passeth by, I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with thy hand while I pass by. I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not see. All of that, God explained that. I'm showing him my goodness. I'm showing him my goodness. He couldn't afford to see me at this point. He can't. Couldn't do that. And therefore, I'm going to show him how good, how wonderful it is, the benefits, the abundance. So here we are looking at the word goodness. It means well-being. The verb to be shining, shining, beautiful, beautiful, joyfully, all the different words, they line up. Physical health, mental in every way, abundance, bountifulness, the benefits of God, the blessing of God, the bliss of God, God's goodness. God is good. And all of his goodness, he's going to let his goodness, God, is being God, and he's going to show Moses his goodness. God is good. You can't, who's good? Who passed by? The goodness of God did. The glory of God did. So that I could come to grips with God's goodness. He's very good in what he does and how he does it. Nations take heed. He's very good at what he does and how he does it. So now, back over to Jeremiah. And in 31. And Jeremiah in chapter 31, the goodness of the Lord, of God, of the Lord, was right. We looked at that in verse 12. Now, sliding down for all young, for the flock and for the herd, and their soul, the goodness of God, you're going to run to God. Their soul, when you go to God for his goodness, when you go for God to his goodness, God, what's going to happen? You're going to tie yourself into God. When you get to God, then we have the statement, verse 12, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow anymore at all. Their soul is going to be like a watered garden. We did all of that last time in a way I hope it stuck with you on planting and trees and everything. It's a wonderful thing. So they're going to come to God and they're going to benefit. Their heart is going to be like a well-watered garden. And the well-watered garden has to do with that which is to overflow, to run over, to be soaked, to be drenched, to be saturated. In every way, the sponge can hold no more water. The sponge is saturated. I use a sponge because the sponge is meant to soak up, full of water. So their soul, so they're going to come to God, who's good, and God. What's going to happen? The goodness of God is going to get to me, and I'm going to have a soul that is like a well-watered garden, an overflowing soul. Now, as we shared that all last time, keeping that in mind, saturated soul, sliding down, if we can, to verse 14. And we shared together, and I will satiate, there's the same word as watered garden. I will satiate, I will intent, it's intensive, I'm going to busy myself. God said, I'm going to busy myself. I'm going to do it with a rolled up sleeve. I'm going to do it diligently. I'm going to do it eagerly. not passively and not oh-hum, I'm going to put myself into it, as it were. Verse 14. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. Well, so with the fatness or abundance, I'm going to do that. So I'm going to go and satiate, same as watered, to busy oneself, to be overflowing as it were, abundant, soaked, and all of those different words, wet, well watered, etc. I'm going to go and associate myself with the priest, and I'm going to go and make them well-watered souls, well-soaked souls. They're going to be fat. Word fat means has to do with abundance. Abundance, good. There has to be something to make it fat. Abundance. And therefore, I'm going to go and satisfy the souls of the priest. That priest are going to be the example to them in that. And so the priest are going to be full, to encourage the people to be full. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please now to see that. Satiate, I'm going to go and satiate the soul. I want to make it abundance. Over to, if you would, to Psalm 36. And just to see it. And here's David. And in Psalm 36, may I pick up, please? Now remember now, Israel is not, Jeremiah, they're not going to take advantage of God's encouragement and the wonderful future they have. They aren't going to see the future. They're going to see the present moment and how it goes. So Israel has failed. They're going to flunk out. That's why it's in writing. So when you're in Babylon and thereafter, you can read this and know that it could have been different, but it wasn't different. So Israel as a nation fails. They fail, and therefore the future is going to help them understand to be saturated, to be well-watered, to be soaked, to have the abundance of God, the goodness of God, flowing into God, and God's flowing, as it were, back into them in a most wonderful way. So, having said that, so don't look out there and people and nations and Israel, don't look out there and say, well, it didn't work. They don't have any of this, what we're reading in Jeremiah chapter 31, 32, 33. You don't see that. No, you don't see that. Don't see it. But their failure is not the failure of God. God, when everything's cuckoo and bad and wrong, and there's no hope of ever getting it out, because there's no hope of stopping stopping Nebuchadnezzar. There's no hope in stopping that. That's going to be. But, don't be discouraged. God gave those words to be an encouragement to the heart, because the God that's going to do that in the future is the God in whose presence they are. And God is not limited, not little, not indifferent. The heart, if you seek God with all your heart, you'll what? You'll find him. And so therefore the individual, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, all of them, you guys be encouraged. The nation isn't going to be, the general populace, they don't care, but you do. God, we're in his presence. Now God, no one seems to have any of this, but God, you haven't reduced one moment of the wonderful person that you are in your goodness, in your glory. And there's no way for us to be with you without being blessed. And we don't have to wait for the Jews, if we were Jews, or Gentiles. We're God here and now. Hang on to that. So now, to see that. Here's David. David's way back here. Jeremiah's up here. David's way back here. Now David and the people of Israel are going to have kings. They have bad kings and good kings and all of that. Now, Psalm 36. And Psalm 36, picking up, if I can, the light a little bit in the context, if I can, verse 5. Oh, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They, verse 8, they shall be abundantly satiated, satisfied. Watered garden, verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness, the abundance of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Wow. So the heart, say, when nothing happens, my family, my friends, my world, my country, my history, whatever, but God's the same, and God doesn't become less. It's true. What God may be able to do in the heart of Jeremiah, which he would, it doesn't stop what's going to happen to the people and to the city and to the temple. It doesn't stop the tribulation. It doesn't stop what's going to happen. Do you understand? But the heart, that's God has kept that, as it were, as the in a special, most special way. Now, having said that little bit, see it again over in Psalm 66. And in Psalm 66, picking up in thought, you'll see it also, since just we're here, in chapter 65, you'll pick it up in verse 10, 11. Thou waterest, there it is, waterest, flooding over, saturate the ridges thereof. In other words, you drop the rain down so it's soaking wet, the ground is. The waters waters the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessedest thy springing, the springing thereof. Verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Thy paths drop fatness, fullness, abundance. God's doing all that. But now when you come to chapter 6, we get a little help differently. And in chapter 6, you'll notice, please, may I go to verse 10. For thou, O Lord, hast proved us, put us to the test. Thou hast tried us, put us on trial. As silver is tried, heated, the draw, to get rid of the dross, to get it all pure silver. God, you're putting Israel through the rigors of exercise to learn. And the tribulation, the Jeremiah's day with Nebuchadnezzar is a marked example of it. Tribulation is the super duper marked example of it. Now, so when we come to all the trial, so it hasn't been an easy journey, Israel. No, it hasn't. Thou broughtest us into the net. We went into the net, into the trap. You didn't let us bypass the landmines in the ground. You had us step in them. We stepped on the landmines. We got caught in the net. We were asking for it. We weren't looking to you, God. We were just plowing along, and all of those things are there. They're always there. The world is always there in its darkness, in its opposition to God and good, and your journey. It's an opposition to our journey in time to be a light in the darkness. The world hates that. It never changes. So there's nets, traps, discouragement, persecution, every kind of word you want, disappointment, depression, all the things that get us. Think of the parable in Matthew 13. Now, so therefore, verse 11, Thou broughtest us into the net, and hath afflicted upon our affliction upon our loins has brought last affliction upon our loins. So we're feeling it. I mean, it's very personal, very personal journey. Thou hast, verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads, the enemy again and again and again. There's no one like Israel that's been through so many wars and so many things. Over our heads, verse 12. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. And there's the word wealthy, satiate, well watered, soaked. You brought us into a soaked, from a dry, desert, discouraging place. You brought us into the soaked place, the satiated place. You brought us to yourself, and that is well-watered ground. You brought us to yourself. How did we get there? We went through. Now, just to see it back in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city, and the rest of them are going to go to Babylon and be scattered, etc. Some are going to go to Egypt and all of that. Now, all of that, having said all of that is there. But out of that is going to what? Is going to come the wonderful, wonderful recovery. And Israel, after 70 years in Babylon, is going to be restored. There's a remnant, Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, a remnant, 70,000, whatever it is, not much. And they're going to go back to Jerusalem. And they're going to say, we went through terrible, terrible years. But God brought us back to a land with rubble and ruin. But God's place, it's wealthy. He's going to bless us there. And he did. Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Haggai, God blessed them. They didn't have everything. They didn't have hardly anything. They had God. That's what they had for a while, till Malachi. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God went and did that wonderful thing. Verse 13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, etc. Verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what God hath done for my soul. Remember what God said? I will satiate the soul of the priest. Not everybody. No, the person that's going to come to God is going to have the blessing of God. So 25 people, 24 don't come, one comes, that person gets it. That person's able to say, verse 16, come and hear all that ye fear God, and I will declare what God hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, he was extolled with my tongue, et cetera, et cetera. And wonderful, wonderful words, but for time's sake. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, before we do that, let me just do that part. Do you see in chapter 66, verse 11, I'll read it. Thou broughtest us into the net, hath laid affliction upon our loins. I'm looking at the net, the trap, the landmines that were going down, and they're all there, and the world's setting them there, and it's awful hard to proceed safely, comfortably, because you never know what's going to happen, who's going to say what, how's it going to happen, because it isn't going in the light of the good, it's going in the light of the bad. So it isn't coming out good, so I have to journey through the darkness. Like David, yea, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of deep darkness, that's what I am. I'm not in heaven, I'm not in the kingdom, I'm on earth. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to Psalm 25. The net I'm after. I'm after the traps. I'm after the landmines. So they were delivered. God let them step into the net and get caught. But God also gave them a way out. We have to journey through time, and all the things are there to trap us and trick us. There's no question. So therefore, over to Psalm 25. And in Psalm 25, picking up, please, you'll catch it, a little flavor of it anyway. If I can, verse 12. 25, 12. What man is he? What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So therefore, we've shared it, and you know it, God teaches each person differently. The same event, the same statement I could make, if I could make one, the same statement I could make would affect you one way and affect you another way. You've got different position. You should be able to get it objectively, but subjectively, it'll be different. It's with different places. So God raises up. In other words, one person can go and get the mumps and be looking to God and be thankful. Another person gets the mumps and they're unthankful. I mean, right? Either one. So everything's different. So what God does with the mumps over here, because it'll help you, it doesn't make any difference over here. So God will teach each believer in the way that he should choose. That's how we grow. That's what one person needs. God help me to be patient. And what God says, what God does with one person, God may do awful things, it seems, with another person to teach him the same thing. God teaches everyone different. So you don't want to say, I'd like to, why them and why me? Because you are you. That's why. So now, having said that, God teaches as he chooses. I need to know that. That's personal. You better be glad it's personal. Because if it was universal, the unbelief of the would ride up here, and you and I and our weaknesses and failure as little like this, but you add the rest of all the weakness and failure, it's one big pile, and you treat that quite differently. You do. So thank God it's personal. Now, so therefore, his soul shall dwell at ease, his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his mercy, covenant. So we're going to have a healthy, reverent respect for God. Verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, looking to God, he shall pluck my feet out of the net. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm in a net. The net's going to happen. The things are going to happen. You're going to get smack dab personally into it. But he will pluck my feet, not to avoid the net, to get me out of the net to go forward. Verse 16, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Now, so that here we are, David. Now, David, I got that. David, tell us again. Over, if you would, please. Over to Psalm 31. And help us again, David, with this net business. Chapter 31, if I can. I'm picking up, please, in verse 4. Pull me out of the net that they have privily, the word privily, hidden secretly, as it were, the net, the trap, the trick. Pull me out of the net that they have laid to trick me, trap me. For me, for thou art my strength, God. So David, what are you looking? David understood. You cannot go down the corridor of time within the world, in the world system that loves darkness, as a child of light, trying to be the light of the world. You can't do it without finding opposition. You just can't do it, because the world is going to get you in some form. Your old nature will get you, the world will get you, the devil will get you. Verse 5, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. That's awesome, God. Thank you for that. Now, God's going to do that. So we have to understand life's journey. You're going to go. You come and go, and easy and hard, much and little. You're going to have to go through it. Therefore, over if I can, David's verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God. And remember, now this is all in the context, verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. So my time, in our hand, we shared all those wonderful things. With God, so our day, our minutes, they're all God's. So we go down the corridor, and we have to go down. And God will teach us in the way that he should choose. And we're going to get step in nets. We're going to get tricked, trapped, and fall down. And God, but God will get us out. I just have to keep looking to God to get out. And verse 16, may God make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. And we're looking to God for his mercy and grace as we go down the time. Into the net, out of the net, down we go. God's goodness. We're looking to God. We're going to God. They're going to do that in the millennium wonderfully. But we can do it right now, go to God. We're able to come to God freely, boldly to the throne of grace, etc. That's a wonderful thing. Now, having said that little bit, and thinking of that God's goodness, and you think of God's goodness, you're going to have God's grace. So therefore, a standard, base, solid rock that you stand on. You always have to remember where, what you're resting on. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, picking up, please. You know, John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. God sent his Son, and he sent his Son, who is the, to give the God, the Son, gives expression to God's awesome person. He gives expression to God, to communicate words. He is the communicator of God's wonderful, wonderful person. He's the Word become flesh. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, having said that, remember that Word that God is bringing to us in his own Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, that one, the Word that he's God bringing to us, he's bringing to us God's grace. The grace of God, God being God, the only Creator, the only Savior, being who he is, comes. There's no other in any way, shape, or form, in any way, no matter how you do it. There's no other way. He's the only one. The only one that can be God is God. That's called grace. God being God to you. Grace. God totally being God, giving himself to you. Because there's no one else to do it. No one else could do it. No one anywhere. It's called grace. Not of works that we have done, but grace. Now, having said that, in verse 14, full of grace and truth. Now, having said that to you, remember the goodness of God? All the people in the Bible flowing to the goodness of God. The whosoever that believes, like in David, etc., they can look to God and be blessed and be saturated and soaked and been given all the benefits that people are going to have in the millennium, but they can have the wonderful presence of God in their life, even though the whole world around them is dry as a bone. Dry as a bone. Wow. Therefore, grace. Now, verse 16. And of his fullness, the Lord Jesus Christ, have all we received. Fullness. What is satiated, soaked, saturated, drenched, full? The glass can hold no more water. No more. It's full. That's the word. Full. The fullness, the overflow. Fullness. Of his fullness have we received. Like in John 1:12, as many as received him. 1:16, we have received him. And then remember, grace, in place of grace, in place of grace. grace for, little preposition, in place of. Grace upon grace upon grace. And we like in waves of the ocean, never end. Day and night, they come. Wow. That's how we live. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. For the reason what? To demonstrate grace. God is seeking to demonstrate who he is. How is he going to demonstrate who he is? By his grace. God, to be God, needs to be God, doing all the saving us and everything else, giving us, and so we're going to come to God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And a rewarder, Hebrews 11:6, a rewarder of them that what? That seek him. You can't come to God without getting his goodness and his grace. And that's what you're doing. Well, it isn't because your body's getting old and all those things. The world around you isn't there. It's everything's not good. And like we shared the other night, that it's all subtle. Very, 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 very fast in the last few months, a year, couple, 3 years. Fast, but it's subtle. And we adjust to gas, another 10 cents, 10 cents. We adjust. We adjust to the price of tomatoes, etc. We adjust. We're subtly, but we're adjusting. We're adjusting. And each time we're adjusting down. We go down, and we aren't here anymore because we readjusted. We adjusted down here, which is understandable, but we aren't going up. This is going to stop paying off, getting us. It's wearing on you, and you won't even know it. You won't know it. It's just sneaking up on us, and it's eating away. It's going to wear you out, unless you what? I got to come to God. The world system around you isn't going to be happy camper, but you are, because you're looking for God. You aren't trying to get your supply from the grocery store or the gas station or anywhere else. For your friends, your enemies, your family, you're looking to God to restore and refresh your heart. And you're going to come. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. You must believe that I am who I am. He doesn't give you faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You can't, that's four letters. He is. That's it. That's what you got to do. And you do that. And God will bless you. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. It's a lovely little section, and we're working on it.